Well, thank you, thank you. It's good to, it's really good to be back here this morning. Thank you, thank you. And I just, I have really learned a lot in the last month, and I hope to, you know, I hope God directs me in my ability to share some of that this morning. Of course, it's not about me. We all know that. It's about how great He is. And thanks for the worship songs. What a great songs. Those songs were really ministering to my heart, you know. I don't have to be ashamed in God's presence. There's no problem that I have or that you have where God is freaking out and going, oh, I didn't know. You know, it's like he's okay with it, you know. And it's so great to be in a fellowship of people who understand that and who are willing to first receive that kind of love from God and then to share it with other people. And I feel that here this morning. It's a great privilege to be here. Before I start our lesson this morning, I just want to take some time to share some of the great things that are happening. We're going to be bouncing around a lot, and I just pray for your grace and this morning in that. We're going to primarily be coming from the book of Ephesians on spiritual warfare, and then we're going to go into a little bit of the life of Paul and how he shares from his life how we fight this battle, this spiritual warfare that is very real and can have great devastation if we allow it to. Okay. First, I want to start out with and say how much God's done in just in this room, in this group of people, in this movement that He's working at right here. Okay. We have 6 discipleship groups right now. 7. We have one for the women as well. So we've got a plant for women's discipleship, which next year is going to break out, and we'll have more availability for that for anybody who's interested. We have 6 men's discipleship groups, and God is really doing great things in the context of those groups. So the men who have dedicated the time to be separated apart from the world to study 3 to 4 hours a week and then to come together and hang out with each other for 3 hours, it's not easy. How many know that Satan doesn't want us to do that? He's waging war against those types of activities, and he's not playing, but neither is God. The war's already been won. So those are great moves. We're having our first discipleship get-together February 6th, Saturday at Mark's house. We're gathering all the disciples together, do a little vision casting, encouraging, touch base with the fellows. Where are you guys at? What's up? What's going on? How can we grow? How can we learn? From that, we hope to develop spiritual gifts that will bless the whole body as we're in our, you know, growing stages. We're looking forward to those men and anyone else who has spiritual gifts to share those. This is right out of the book of Ephesians. If you've read it, I can see God's hand all over it, and it's exciting. We've got the men's retreat. We just got together with David Ekman a couple days ago, and he shared his heart with us on what he wants to teach on this year, and we got a lot of guys coming to that, and I just want to really, really encourage you to reach out to someone personally. You know, yeah, we're going to send out flyers and we're going to make public announcements, but there's nothing like the right hand of fellowship reaching out and saying, I want you to come. It would mean a lot if you came. So that's going on. And these are just a few things. There's a lot of other things going on. But in the midst of this, there's a lot of spiritual warfare as well. Okay. Aaron, would you open me in prayer this morning? Would you open us up in prayer? Thank you. Thank you. Let's start out in Ephesians and see where God takes us. It's always a mystery to me where He's going to take us. You'd think I'd have this all laid out and everything, but I don't. You know, I do my studying, and my big problem is always God shows me way too much. And it's all so good. I don't know what part to share. I want to share it all. You know, I really, really do. And of course, I can't. So I just do my homework and rest on Him and pray that the Holy Spirit will guide me. And I know He's faithful. So we'll start out here. And I just want to do kind of a brief. How many people are familiar with the book of Ephesians? All right. About 50% of us. It's believed to be the highest book in the Bible, or one of them. Romans is believed, I've heard. to be the other one in competition. I like to call them the Twin Peaks. And the theme of it is the divine purpose, the glory and headship of Christ. Okay? And what we see is God reconciling individuals to himself. Then we see him reconciling individuals to each other. Okay, then we see him reconciling the Jews and the Gentiles in that. And then there's this one part right in the middle of it, chapter 3, where he's revealing his wisdom through the church, okay, in the heavenly realms. And that just amazes me that God has chosen his church. If we go to chapter 3, it's a big piece. We're not going to spend too much time in it. 1 through 13. His intent was, this is verse 10. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ. It's just amazing to think that God has the church on display in heavenly realms to display his manifold wisdom. Have you ever thought about that? And then on the individual basis that we're his workmanship, it actually means masterpiece. I tell you sometimes, man, I don't feel like much of a masterpiece. You know, and I struggle with that sometimes. And I say, what are you revealing through us, Lord? It's really something to ponder. If you ever want to meditate on something, that's a good one. Nevertheless, that's what he's doing. Then he goes in, Paul has a prayer that we could grow in the depth of our knowledge of his love. We're to be deeply rooted in the love of Christ, the love of God as a Father. And his prayer for us, for the Ephesians as well as us, is that we would be deeply rooted in that love. And I'm amazed how often that I'm not deeply rooted in that love. That love of Christ is so distant from me, how easy I can get away from it. Be short with people, be short with my wife, be short on the job. Guy's working for me. How many times have I told you that? You should know it by now, this type of thing. Then he gives some... He talks about unity, maturity, and renewal of personal life. Those are some great topics that he covers. How important is that we retain the unity? First that we get it, and then that we retain it, and then grow in some maturity. Okay, and the only way I can grow in maturity is to be part of this body, the church, the family of God. Okay, and I desperately, desperately need to grow in maturity. I'm so grateful that I have an opportunity to do this. Guys like Ed and Andy and Mark and Aaron and these dudes, these are my elders, my brothers, my peers. And without them, I'm dead. I'm outside here in a hurricane of life that okays all my fleshly nature, you know, and even says, you're doing pretty good. See, let me go out here and look around to the examples of the world. I feel like maybe I'm okay. I'm doing all right. That's how distant I get from the love of Christ. Then I love this. He gives a principle in chapter 5, verse 21. We'll go there for a second. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. What an incredible standard. Okay, then he's going to flesh this submission out or build on it in practical application. Wives with husbands, children with parents, and slaves and masters. How does this work out? What's it look like? Well, the first part is the principle, submit to one another. Can you do that? Wow, I've struggled with that. I'm going to be honest with you. It's been a struggle for me. Well, first, you know, you need to show me that you're worth submitting to. You know, Well, you make sure you cut the grade. You know, cut the mustard, make the standard. And let me tell you some ways I could help you with that, incidentally. I'm pretty good at that. Step 10 in reverse. It's like, I'll continue to take your inventory and promptly admit when you're wrong. All right? But that's not what it says here. Submit to one another. Why? Out of reverence to Christ. Because it's what he wants us to do, isn't it? Sure. And I just kind of noticed something as I was going through this. It starts out with wives, submit to your husbands. I thought it would start out with the husbands first. But it didn't. I thought that was interesting. I haven't figured it out yet, but just a question I'm kind of asking myself. And the same thing here. Children, honor your parents. And then slaves, submit to your masters. One thing that kind of was revealed to me, we think that, you know, that there's, you know, slavery's pretty much done away with in the United States. I don't think so. No. I think Jesus talked about it kind of, he said, you can't serve two masters. You'll love one and hate the other. What are the two masters he talked about? Money and God. I've never seen anybody as much of a, if you want to look at slavery, look at the guy who just, he is working so hard for that dollar, he can't even hang out with his wife. Can't do it. Boy, the boss says, you know, get it done. He's there. And he'll get it done at the cost of his wife, his children. I'm not picking on anybody. I've done that myself. I've been amazed how often I've looked at what I'll do for money. And God asked me to do something. You know, it's like all I can barely do to just come to church for an hour. And even then, I got to be worried about the things of the world while I'm in here and all distracted and everything. Wait a minute. That's not right. And then I'm a boss. I have workers. I'm not their master, but you want to know what? I put food on their table. God has privileged me with the opportunity to help feed families you know, if I fire that guy, what's he going to do? If I treat him poorly, you know, how's he going to deal with that? So these are very practical aspects that God brings into view in this submit to one another. And then the part we're all familiar with is the armor of God, the spiritual warfare. Finally, it starts out in chapter 6, verse 10. The reason I went through all this first, just kind of brushed through that, is because the concluding remarks are, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. See, he's saying finally, because by now you've heard all this. See, half the people in this room raised their hand when they said they were familiar with the book of Ephesians. I've been pretty familiar with it for a long time. But you know what? The submitting part to one another, I got to tell you something. I haven't been familiar with that a very little. Dabble in it. I dabble in it every now and then. I want you to know something. You know, I just got broken. I just got taken to the proverbial whooping shed. And I just, my prayer is I just hope to God that I continue in it because it's wonderful. You know, it's wonderful. To be in opposition with my brothers in Christ is a sin against God Himself. Okay? He's not taking it lightheartedly at all. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. So before we even get on to putting on the armor, we're to be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. I love the guy that wrote this, Paul. He started out pretty strong in himself, didn't he? Yeah, he did. He was well educated. He was moneyed up. He was on a mission. He went out and was pursuing these Christians. Wasn't good enough to kill them where he was. He decided he had to get on the road to Damascus and chase them where they were running from his persecution. in the book of Acts. We're familiar with that because we've been going through the book of Acts. It's the one place I didn't mark here. Let's look at Paul for a sec. Marcus, what chapter is that in? 9. Oh, thank you, guys. I love it, man. I do. I'm so glad it's not all about me. I'm just a knucklehead. I really am. But isn't it neat that God's got everything represented in this room that he needs? Together we can. We'll go to chapter 9. Let's look at Paul for a sec here. Book of Acts. Okay. Meanwhile, Saul was still, chapter 9. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. It's easy to look at Paul and say, what is wrong with this guy? But guess what? We criticize each other. Listen, I'm close enough to a lot of you guys that I know it's no big deal to walk out this room and say, boy, Lane is really blowing it. That guy's all over the place. Oh, he thinks so much of himself. If he could learn a little humility, it might help. You're probably right. Oh, this guy over here, boy, he needs to learn that. I could help him with it too. See? Guess what? How do you think Jesus feels about that? No, not at all. Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Only that which builds up and edifies. That's the standard. And you know what? It feels so much better when you just stop the words, help me, God. I'm about to criticize my brother who's just like me, needs your help. I want to be part of what you're doing here. I want to help people, build them up. Yeah, we're a pretty motley crew sometimes, but we sure need some help. Let me be part of that. You know what's funny? One of my leaders and authorities in my life is a guy I sponsored when he was in the mental section of Project 90. He didn't even make the regular section of Project 90. You know, he had to be in the medication unit. That's Mark. I sponsored him. And God used me, allowed me to be part of his sobriety and part of his spiritual growth. Well, guess what? Now he's my leader. Okay? And God's teaching me in humility to submit to that leadership. I want you to know something. I fought that for a long time. And guess how happy I was while I was fighting it. Here's how you know you're insane. Okay? You've got it all figured out, and it sucks. All right? That's insanity. Little clue there. If you got it all figured out and it sucks, no, you don't have it all figured out. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners in Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice. Just imagine Paul going along his way. You know that statement, have you seen the light? Right here is where it came from. Have you seen the light? The Lord's light? Here's the response to it. Fall to the ground. He heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And that's what he did. He was blinded. He got up into the city. Check this out. To the very people he was persecuting. There's two sides of this story. Okay? There's Paul, You know, bold guy. And don't think for a minute God didn't intend to use that boldness. He used every bit of it. And we don't see Paul's boldness getting any less as he transfers into God's man. God uses that same boldness that was in rebellion to him. And he uses it to go out and spread this message that he's telling us in Ephesians in incredible ways. So he goes, he responds, he goes where the Lord tells him to. It's called obedience. Those are some words we don't like today, huh? Not very popular words, are they? Submit and obedience. You want to get an argument going in a couples meeting, just talk about submission and obedience. You know? You want to have an unhappy marriage? If you're a fella, if you're a guy, you know, try not giving yourself up for your wife. You know, I've argued with God so long on that. I don't want a baby. She wants a baby. And I even was smart enough to tell her, well, of course you want a baby. I'm going to try to meet her halfway here in understanding and compassion. Of course you want a baby. You're a woman. If you didn't want a baby, there's something to be wrong with you. I understand that. I totally respect that. But I'm old, you know. Try to rationalize it here. Guess what? I never ran it by God. And this is what I'm trying to get at this morning is there's, if I'm having trouble submitting to my wife, if I'm having trouble submitting to you, if I'm having trouble submitting to Mark, guess what? I'm having trouble submitting to Christ, aren't I? Sure I am. Let's not pretty it up. I used to say, well, my heart's right. I heard that somewhere. I heard someone else say it. I thought, okay, you know, my actions aren't very good, but boy, my heart's right. You know, come on now. Guess what? No, it's not. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll what? Yeah, is that a bad thing? No, that's a great privilege. Oh, man, when I'm obeying Jesus, I'm as happy as I know how to be. It's so nice not to be proud and, you know, singing a Frank Sinatra song, I did it my way. You know, I took the blows, the record shows. Yeah, I don't want anything to do with that path. Now, the other guys, check them out. They could have easily said, hey, wait, and they did. There was a little word here. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. Okay, the brother's weighing in now. Because, see, God's bringing Paul into the fellowship, isn't he? The real fellowship. You might say Paul had a little blow up there, huh? He expressed some anger. It's not freaking God out. He can deal with that. Now guess what? He's bringing them back to the group of guys, right? Imagine if you were one of those guys and you say, hey, wait a minute. You want to bring this guy over here? Might be difficult, huh? You might want to throw up a few standards. Anyways, pretty interesting. And we'll jump back over here to Ephesians. Chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. We can't fight this battle without Him. He's already fought it. All we're called to do is stand the ground that he's taken. And the call is to be strong. Okay, I'll tell you something. When your brother needs forgiveness, it takes real strength to say, hey, God, what, do I need forgiveness too? Where's my brother? He's not here. Do I need some forgiveness? Did I do something? Search my heart, Lord. Is there a way you want me to bring him back? That's being strong in the Lord and His mighty power. The power that reconciles. The power that draws people back. The power that forgives. There's no shame. There's no guilt. There's no condemnation. We can work it out. You get right back here where you belong. Right here. I miss you. You're my brother. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you're mine. Let that be the defining characteristic of the Christian. Hey, guess what? If we don't have that here, what is it that we have to bring to the lost world? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. What do you think that means? Anybody got an idea on that? Marcus? I love you, man. Unseen. What else? Somebody? Yeah. Satan and his demons. When?
Spiritual battle.
Yeah, spiritual. I just want to say something. If you're fighting your brother, if you're fighting your wife, if you're fighting your kid, if you're fighting your dad, if you're fighting your boss, if you're fighting your worker, you got the wrong fight. It's unseen. It's spiritual. Then it goes into putting on the full armor. But I want to jump over here to Romans. How do we fight this fight? What do you think it means, put on the full armor? Okay, trust in the Lord. Yeah. Arm ourselves with spiritual guidance. Okay. Marcus. Okay. Have your feet firmly shod in the peace of the Gospels. It's Christ Himself. Okay. The Gospels, Christ. The Word, Christ. The belt of truth, Christ. The helmet of salvation, Christ. The breastplate of righteousness, Christ. I got no righteousness without Christ. The shield of faith, gift of God. It's God. Okay? Now, I love how Paul puts it. The big book says this. Our problem centers in the mind. That's a powerful piece of insight. Let's see what the Bible says about it. Romans chapter 7. This is the place where Paul's struggling with. I'm sorry? Okay, well, that's a good question. I'm going to look at a lot of verses here, but I'm primarily going to focus on verse 21. But if you want to check out, we're going to go through verse 15 to 21. I'm not going to go through all of it. But Paul describes a struggle. He gives a great detailed explanation of sin, grace, salvation, the gospel. It's the clearest demonstration of the gospel in the Bible, the book of Romans. Really breaks it down. Okay, and now he's talking about, I love Paul because he's opening himself up, leading apostolic teacher. He's not ashamed to tell the truth. He's opening himself up and he's going, hey, the things I want to do, I don't do them. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is the sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. Oh, wow. What a lot of honesty there. You know what I'm, head leading teacher guy, he's just saying, hey man, I'm making some, what I really want to do, I don't do it. I really want to go over there and tell my brother, I'm sorry. I said some really stupid things, man. I apologize. Can you find it in your heart to forgive me? I don't do it. Oh, no, man, I go over here and mumble. talk to anybody that'll listen, what a jerk this guy is. How come he can't see what he did? It is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. I want to stop here and just say something that I've observed about Paul. What he's doing right here is he's separating himself. There's a separation going on here. This is me. I love God. I want to do what God wants me to do. And this is the sinful nature that's warring inside of me, and I don't want to do what it wants me to do. Okay? Can you see that separation? He's identifying, I am born of God. I love what God wants me to do. I love God. I want to obey Him. But over here, I'm doing things that God doesn't co-sign at all, and I don't want to do them. How many people can relate to that? Yeah. See? I want to really encourage you, like Paul did, identify with the new man, the new creation in Christ. There is no condemnation. You don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to feel guilty. You know, get with God as a father and understand the fullness of that. And when we learn to walk from that, I picture God as a big guy. He comes and puts his arm around me and says, I got you, son. All I want you to do is be honest. I got you right here. I know every tear you've ever cried. I know every rejection. I know every abandonment, every stepdad you've had, all the pain, all the misunderstanding. I know all of it. I've walked with you. I've seen it. You're okay with me. This is not you. That's who you used to be. So, I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body waging war. Okay, where's the war going on? In my body. The sinful nature is waging war against the spiritual man. Not against my wife. Especially my wife. She's almost perfect. She is, too. I'm not joking. I'm not joking you, man. I just get ashamed when I fight my wife. I'm always wrong. I am. I'm not kidding. It's always wrong for me to fight her. I'm not supposed to fight her. I'm supposed to love her. I'm supposed to give myself up. I'm supposed to create an environment where she can be cherished, loved, and grow, and nurtured, and shine. It took me a long, long time to learn that and a lot of brokenness. And I still have to be frequently reminded of it. But that's what grace is for, isn't it? Getting back up, trying to do the right thing. Grace is not for heading in the wrong direction and feeling good about it. You know, it's for getting back up, trying to do the right thing. And he goes over here. This is how we're to fight the fight. I'm going to wrap it up. I got 10 minutes. I think I'm going to actually make it to the end today. Here's the deal. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. You checked your mind out lately? Wow, when I was out there, I was out there for a month. Okay? The stuff that was going through my mind was not pretty at all. I was mad. Really mad. But I could never get it by God. Finally, you get so lonely. You have to bring this. You have to go to God because no one else will listen to you. I'm serious, man. I was at the gym. One of my younger brothers I love dearly, he came in with the same kind of resentment I'd had. I'd gotten through mine by now. And he came in and I go, what's going on, man? He started to tell me about it. It's like, oh, man, please change the channel. You know, like for an hour, he couldn't let it go. God showed me, that's what you sound like, Lane. Okay, what am I supposed to do? Get with you on tearing down these guys? I mean, come on. I understand you're hurt, but let's change the channel. Let's get to the fear. Let's get to the pain. Let's get to the frustration. We don't know how to deal with that very well as alcoholics, do we? I didn't grow up in a family where they said, okay, you're mad, that's all right. People get mad. You're still my son. I still love you. What are you mad about? Huh? Well, you hurt my feelings. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. How'd I hurt your feelings? Well, you said this. Oh, you know what? That's right. I did say that. That was wrong. I'm sorry. Come over here and give me a hug. You know, do you know it's really that simple? I'm 52, man. And I just took that lap in the wilderness. You hurt my feelings. 52. Still need a hug. You know how disarming it is when somebody's able to offer an olive branch? I love you. I miss you. You belong here. Come over here and give me a hug. Let's talk about it. Let's work it out. Isn't that how God is? Sure. Here's what's amazing. He worked it out so good, I'm just blown away. I can't believe how he worked it out. Golly. But first I had to get right with him. He showed me. I was reading a book. I like to read spiritual books. I was reading a book and he showed me, you're rebelling against me, Lane. Oh, no, 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 God, I don't want to rebel against you. Good. I want you to go over there and apologize to that guy. He's supposed to come apologize to me. What about what he said? I'm serious, man. That's my response. What about what he said? He's this guy or that guy. He's supposed to do it. Don't you worry about what he's supposed to do. I'll talk to him later. You go do it. Did you do that for me, son? My pride flashes in front of me. They're going to make fun of me. I'm going to look like the world's biggest idiot. Dang it. I was so bold and strong, and now I got to go back there and say I'm sorry. Oh, man, I'm going to get rolled over. I'm going to really need your help, God. Please, I'll do it, but, man, you got to help me. I didn't really think he could. I'm serious. I didn't think he could. I definitely didn't think he could do what he did. You know what's so neat? Me and the people that were involved in that are tighter than we've ever been. What Satan wanted to use to separate us, God used to draw us back together closer, man. Don't miss out on that. Don't let him do it. Okay? We have an enemy, and he wants to separate us from this room, then from each other. And if he could, he'd separate us from God himself. Don't let him do it. So the battle's in the mind. We got one more place to go here, if I can find it. Oh, yeah. Here it is. In Romans chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Some guys are making fun of Paul. See, he's this spiritual fight that he's talking about, we get confused sometimes. It's manly stuff. Oh, don't make any mistake. It's the most manly thing you'll ever do. Okay? But we get confused because we haven't been separated. And we try to bring these fleshly efforts into this spiritual realm, and there's no place for it. Okay? There's some guys that are reading Paul's letters, and they don't get that. And they're challenging him openly and criticizing him. Well, Paul wrote some letters and said, hey, this sexual immorality, you better clean it up. I'm coming back, and when I do, I'm going to deal with it. What happens when Paul comes back? It's been dealt with. God dealt with it in his presence. They repented and they brought the brother back into the fellowship. So some big mouths, you'll find a lot of those around, started shooting Paul down. Oh, you talk big when you're gone. But when you come back, you're not so big at all. He's addressing that response. He's responding to that statement right here in chapter 10. The weapon, it's chapter 10, verse 4. It's one of my favorite verses. It's a memory verse of mine, and I've tried to live by it. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the kingdom of God. Yeah, that's a powerful statement. Now, how do you do that? And we take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. He's not operating in his own power. He's not operating in his own wisdom and his own strength. He's operating in divine wisdom, divine strength. And every thought that, see, I find the law at work. When I want to do good, evil is present. Where's it present? Right there in your brain. Pay attention to them, the thoughts that come. See, Satan tries to dilute it, tries to mix it up. Get you a little away from Christ. That's all he needs to do. Get you a little away from the truth. What did he do with Eve in the garden? Did God really say? Just confused her a little bit. It's all he needs to do. And he's always yakking. Never stops. He's on the job 7/24. Every thought captive. See, but it gets so joyful to be in the presence of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, that stuff becomes more and more vile. You just recognize it the second it comes up. It's like, no, not going to do it. I'm not going to badmouth my brother. Uh-uh. Been that route, been broken, forget it. Nope. He's going to try another way, though. Be worried about the, you know, you don't have any work. That's all right. Money's not my God. God's able to provide for me. He's able to take care of me. I'm not going to worry about that either. So that's how we fight it. And I just want to conclude with this statement. The only time our commander-in-chief, for lack of better term, that's a worldly term, but the one who has all authority is God the Father, and he's given the authority to Christ. He is the head. Okay, and if we're ever in question, if we know Christ well enough, all we have to do is resound with how well we know him and how close in relationship we are with him. That's all I have to do. What's the greatest command? Marcus. That's the second one. You got ahead of yourself. Yeah, I know. I didn't ask for the greatest two. I'm just teasing you, man. I love how Jesus, they asked him, what's the greatest commandment? He threw in the second one for free. They didn't ask him that one. He threw it in just for free. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor. They were, anyway. Did it say part of your heart? All your heart. Have you ever taken that seriously? All your heart. God wants all your heart. He gave a son, didn't he? The rest is small change. He wants your heart to respond to that truth. What is it you don't want to give up, Lane? Oh, you got your feelings hurt, huh? You're not willing to let me change your heart on that? Doesn't that kind of pale in comparison to Christ dying on the cross? Yeah, it should. And I love how it starts with heart, soul, mind, and then Mark throws in strength. Strength is the least, right? For us fellas, there's a guy in the back there like this. I said, you've been lifting? He goes, yeah. As I could tell, I've been lifting too. That's the least. Okay? And then the mind, that's not very high ranking either. Okay? But the soul, the sum total of all your experiences, and then the heart. So look to your heart. Thanks.